Are you ready, Alabama? You're listening to our number two in the doghouse.
You need to be more like a dog.
Ruff, silence, quiet.
All my boys, stand up.
We don't need a bunch of cats in here.
Call 866-485-9867 to get your bark on.
Hello?
Hello?
Are you a dog?
Yes!
I am also a dog.
All right!
Yeah!
We're dogs!
Yeah, we're dogs.
We're dogs that live near each other.
Live from the Big Dog Production Studios, it's the Tom Abraham Show.
Okay, folks, the guy in front of you is Tommy. He'll be taking you through my little spiel here.
Here he is, the head of the household, the big dog. Here's Tom Abraham.
We strong. We strong. We strong.
You all may be taking the week off, right, this week, but I'm not.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Tom Abraham Show. Glad that you are with us today. Of course, Alabama got their spring ball started yesterday. Auburn's been in spring ball. They're like midway through. Got back on the field after a little bit of spring break activity. And joining us now to talk about it on the Woody Anderson Ford VIP hotline, Brian Matthews from the Rivals Auburn site, auburnsports.com. Brian, welcome back. How are you, man?
Hey, Tom. Thanks for having me in. Doing terrific.
I appreciate you joining us here a little bit. And I guess it didn't take very long to sort out some of the guys in the quarterback room, right? I mean, we knew about John Franklin III and that there was a strong possibility he would make a position move. Get to him in a moment. And Tyler Queen decides to exit stage left, and I don't think there's any shock to that, right?
No, I think both these moves have been in work for a while. John Franklin started playing wide receiver after about the second practice of the spring and sort of got more and more reps over there. I think they liked what they saw, and they're going to make that a permanent move for the rest of the spring, although they did not rule out the possibility of him getting some quarterback reps too. And then Tyler Queen was probably behind the two freshmen, Woody Barrett, the redshirt freshman, and Malik Willis, the true freshman, and wasn't going to get many reps the rest of the spring. So I think he sort of saw the writing on the wall there.
Do you get the sense that there is a real competition for that starting job? And will there be a starter named at the end of spring, or will they let that go over the summer?
I don't think there's real competition for the starting job right now because Sean White's not 100% yet. He is starting to throw more, doing some 7-on-7 practice, but he won't do any of the team stuff or scrimmage stuff this spring. So I think that a real battle for number one is going to take place in the first couple of weeks of fall camp. And that's when I think they'll name a starter, maybe a couple of weeks before the season opener, somewhere in that range. I don't expect them to name a starter after spring, although they should go ahead and name Jarrett the starter. He's the one that's getting most of the number one reps or all the number one reps this spring. And then Malik and Woody are sort of splitting those number two reps.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously there's only going to be one number two, and if it ends up being Stidham the starter and Sean White the two, you know, then Woody is still in that position, you know, where his time is down the road. Because Stidham is, you know, he's got, I believe he's got 3 years of eligibility left. And you wonder if we've seen the last of the transfers. Because, you know, I know he's chomping at the bit to play, but, you know, if Stidham settles in, you know, he'd be at least a 2-year starter.
At least, unless he has a fantastic year, you know, and then he can move on to the next level. I'm not sure that that's going to happen, but, I think you have to prepare for all possibilities. But, Jarrett's only going to be a sophomore. Sean White will be a junior this year. And then, of course, Woody and Malik are both freshmen.
Yeah, yeah. And Malik, a true freshman. Woody, a redshirt freshman. How have they felt with Malik Willis and what they've seen so far of him in you know, this limited amount of time? But in spring ball, how do they feel with what they've seen?
I think they've been very impressed with Malik. I think they see a guy who's really into it, wants to be a quarterback, wants to learn all the ins and outs of the offense, wants to take extra time after practice, before practice, to prepare himself. And they also see a guy with tremendous ability. They described his running ability as similar to Nick Marshall. I'm not sure he's quite that sudden, but and they've also described him having a cannon for an arm. So I think he's got a lot of good raw tools to work with and a good head on his shoulders, and would not be surprised if he's not the quarterback of the future after Stidham moves on.
You know, and when you look at John Franklin III making this move, I mean, you know, he tried at the Florida State, and then he came over as a quarterback, and yeah, he makes this move, and maybe it's a, you know, long-term thing as he's looking down the road. It certainly could benefit him. But you talk about him taking snaps. There's no reason why he, as dynamic a runner as he is, why he may not see more of those Wildcat snaps than anybody else, right? I mean, this is something we've seen Kerryon Johnson do for 2 years, but you know, maybe that's another spot that John Franklin gets utilized quite a bit in that Wildcat look.
I think so, but I don't think they'll look at that until probably in the fall. They want to give him as many reps at receiver as possible, see how quickly they can sort of build that skill set there, and how much he can progress, and just get a general idea of, you know, if he's going to be a guy that could push for a starting job. Is he a guy that's in the rotation, or is he a guy that still needs a lot of work? And what we've heard feedback-wise is everybody's been pretty surprised how quickly he's progressed and picked things up there. And, you know, he's a guy that if he can catch the ball, if he can prove he can hold on to it when he gets hit, he certainly has the speed and athletic ability to be a difference maker there.
Yeah, I could see him, you know, in the slot, taking those quick passes and being able to do some things in space and be very productive. Now, he may get a few more reps out there because Kyle Davis is done for the spring. Any thought, though, that he won't be 100% for the fall?
Gus said that he's not sure if he'll be back in the spring. He didn't close the door on him coming back, but said he did expect him back for this fall and for preseason practice and such. So Kyle's a terrific athlete, and if he can get everything taken care of off the field, I'd expect him to be back and be a big part of this team here, you know, whether it's in the spring or this summer or fall, whenever he officially returns.
Defensively, Byron Cowart obviously had a lot, came in with a lot of fanfare, and hasn't been overly productive so far in his career, but he's moving inside. I really like that move. I like when you can take a guy that has defensive end quickness and move him into a tackle-type position. How is his mindset about that in terms of playing inside?
Well, we haven't talked to Byron, but from what we've heard from his teammates and coaches, he's pretty excited about the move and has shown some improvement and is playing a little bit better this spring. Me personally, I've got to see it, you know, with my own eyes first before I, you know, jump on that bandwagon. But, you know, if he could ever put it all together and have that, you know, tough mentality, physical play on and off the field, you know, you know, he's got a chance to be a good player for Auburn, but we just haven't seen that yet.
Yeah. All right. Has there been any other surprises or disappointments so far in what they've done so far in spring ball?
I can't think of any disappointments. I think redshirt freshman they're really impressed with on defense is Marlon Character, the defensive back out of Georgia. I feel like he can play cornerback or possibly play nickel or even safety in the future, and they're really high on him. And I feel like defensively, as long as they can get a good pass rush for Bryce Carl Lawson, that's how the ball's going to be really good again for Auburn.
You think that this is going to be a, you know, when they get to the scrimmages and, of course, the 8A game, that we're going to see a real limitation on, you know, the running backs in terms of the guys that they know what they can do and what they'll be able to bring to the table for them?
For A Day, I think we'll see most of the starters the first half, just because they'll probably want to get Stidham out there and working with the guys he's going to be working with, you know, through the fall and stuff. So I think we'll get a good look at these guys, at least in the first half. And it won't be too long in the second half before they start substituting rather freely out, though, I expect.
No. What about offensive line-wise? How are you seeing things shaping up there?
Well, I know they're going to look at some different combinations, but the move of Braden Smith from right guard to right tackle seems like it's going well. They feel really pleased with the offseason and the early performance so far of Darius James at left tackle. And that's allowed the sort of the two new guys, Markel Harrell and Mike Horton, to step into the guard position. They really like the young, talented sophomore offensive linemen. So I think they feel pretty good how it's going, but they're going to mix things up a little bit. They might give Prince Tega a look at the left tackle. He's a very, very talented young guy who moved from defensive end last year. And then, of course, you got Calvin Ashley coming in, the highly rated signee in Auburn's 2017 class. And we'll have to see where he fits in when he gets here.
Yeah. All right. Brian Matthews has been one of our guests. Of course, the rival site, AuburnSports.com. Brian, I appreciate you taking a couple of minutes with us.
Hey, thanks, Tom. I appreciate it.
All right, man. Thank you. Right, there you go, getting a little bit of an update on what's going on over there as the things get started again after, what, they were off like 12 days? Something like that. They were off a good amount of time with their spring break and now back on the field there as well. All right, a number of you have commented on a piece of memorabilia that you'd want to have in your hands. And I'll start with some of you that have been responding at the Facebook page. John Boy Dewey Magoo says he'd like to have a pair of Johnny Unitas black high-top cleats. It's not bad. It's not bad. Preston wants autographs from the Racing Sausages. He already has that. I've seen it. Ben says, how about one of those Excalibur lipless crankbaits that KVD used to win the Classic on Lay Lake in 2010? Yeah, you know, that would be kind of cool for those of us that are big into professional fishing. That'd be kind of neat. That would be kind of neat. Jason says a puck from the USA Russia in 1980. You mean like the puck? The one that Micah, where is that puck? The one Micah Ruzioni scored the winning goal against the Russians? Where is that puck? Hey, McResearch, jump on that. See where that puck is that Micah Ruzioni scored the winning goal in U.S. versus Russia in the Olympic semifinal game in 1980. Steve says, George Brett's pine tar bat. That's got to be in the Hall of Fame. I don't want that. Could have that. Jonathan says, the game ball when the Red Sox broke the curse. I wonder where that thing is. Let's see. Derek says, how about the golf ball that Tiger used on the 16th hole of the 2005 Masters? Remember that shot where he chips in on 16? He throws it way up on the bank and it curls down. And yeah, that would be pretty good. Dave says, I'd love to have the houndstooth hat that Bear Bryant wore during 315 or Hank Aaron's 715 jersey. Yeah, now that's a piece of history. Both of those would be a piece of – I would have to believe – that Bear Bryant's 315 lid, it's got to be in a Bryant Museum, isn't it? Why haven't I been to the Bryant Museum yet? As many times as I've been to Tuscaloosa, why haven't I gone to that place yet? What's the matter with me? Matthew says Tommy Frazier's Fiesta Bowl jersey, or perhaps the final out ball for the Cubs World Series win. I think that went to the... Did the first baseman keep that? Did Anthony Rizzo, who's got that ball? I'm not sure. Hey, T-Mac, who's got, do you remember that? Remember that out was made? There was a lot of discussion about it. It went in the back pocket. Wasn't that made at first base? And the final out of the Cubs World Series win?
I'm looking it up, and it says Anthony Rizzo gives World Series ball to Tom Ricketts.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. All right, because I know he had it for a bit, and then okay, so he gave it up, gave it to the owner. And Daniel says a Jordy Howe jersey. That would be good. Or Gordy Howe jersey. Jordy. I'm thinking of Jordy Robertson. Number of guys weighing in on that question. What would be the one thing? If you could have one thing, what would be that one thing? Rick says Goldberg's ring gear when he beat Brock Lesnar in 86 seconds at Survivor Series last year. No, I don't want a wrestler's trunks. That's gross. T-Mac, isn't that gross? A wrestler's trunks?
It's a little nasty. I mean, mine was a little different, but I mean, I narrowed mine down. I wanted a sock, so.
A bloody sock.
Yeah.
Not any sock. You want Curt Schilling's bloody sock. That's at the Hall of Fame, I believe, too. Yeah. Jameel Holloway's NCAA championship jersey.
He was still the only true freshman to ever win a national championship as quarterback. But the other one I wanted that I didn't put on there that I was also considering, but it was from the following Fiesta Bowl, or the 87 Fiesta Bowl after the 86 season. Bosworth's T-shirt he wore because he was suspended for the game. He wore a T-shirt he made that said NCAA, National Communist Against Athletes. That was just a piece of fun.
Lou Gehrig's bat that he leaned on as he made his luckiest man on the face of the earth speech from Buggy. Today, I consider myself, the luckiest man I've had, man, on the face of the earth. Have you seen that movie, Pride of the Yankees, with Gary Cooper as Lou Gehrig? What's the matter with you? That movie came out in the 40s, maybe? 50s? 30s? 40s? 50s? T-Mac, that's one of those things you just got to see. You've got to go see. You've got to rent Netflix, on demand, whatever, Pride of the Yankees. I know you're not a Yankees fan. I'm just saying that's something you got to check out. Every sports fan should see that at some point. I might make that dog code. I got to come up with these rules and write them down. I should write down all these dog code things. Every red-blooded American should see Pride of the Yankees at some point in time. Today. I consider myself. Bill says Michael Jordan's jersey from the 1998 final shot over the Jazz or the bow over the top jersey in 1982. Yeah, I was waiting for Auburn fan to get in there with bow over the top jersey. Or would you rather have a Cam Newton jersey from the national championship game or from the Iron Bowl? If you're an Auburn fan, do you want Cam Newton's jersey from the comeback game? In the Iron Bowl, when you came back from down 24-0 to win, or would you rather have the national championship game jersey? I think the Iron Bowl jersey is worth more than the national championship game jersey. Because, first of all, Cam was a lot more involved in that win.
What about the what about Chris Davis's jersey from the kick six?
What's that? What's the kick six? I never heard of that.
Yeah, the Iron Bowl against Alabama.
What happened? It was a play in a play they called a kick six in the Iron Bowl? What was that? I never heard of that.
That's what we've always called it there. That's what I've always called it, me and some friends. The kick six from 2013?
What happened?
When Chris Davis ran the ball back to beat Alabama in the Iron Bowl.
I don't recall that.
you don't remember that play?
I was standing next to Rod Bramlett when it happened.
I guess if this thing comes up short, he can field it. And run it out. All right, here we go. 56-yarder. Does not have the leg. And Chris Davis takes it in the back of the end zone. He'll run it out to the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45. There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game. He ran the missed field goal back. He ran it back 109 yards. They're not going to keep him off the field tonight. Holy cow. Oh, my God. Auburn wins. Auburn.
I was covering the game for CBS Sports nationally, radio, CBS Sports Radio. And I was right on the other side of the glass from, no, I was down below Rod Bramlett. I was just down below Rod Bramlett and Stan White when they made that call. And it was, and the thing is being that I'm an old special teams coordinator, I didn't like it from the setup. I saw him send that Chris Davis out there. I said, oh my God, this is not good. Cause there's nobody that can cover this kick. Nobody that can cover this kick. I couldn't believe the game was going into overtime. I was kind of stunned by that. I had just done a hit. And, the thing that'll always be enduring to me from being there was leaving the stadium. Okay. The field, of course, is immediately mobbed with students and fans, right? But the thing that'll never the thought that will never leave my mind is I'm leaving the stadium, and as I'm leaving Jordan-Hare, people are pouring into the stadium. I mean, they are pouring into the stadium. And across the street from the stadium where the Auburn Arena is, my wife and kids were over there watching the game in the arena on the big screen. You know, it was free and all that kind of stuff because for the overflow and for all the people that there was, huh?
Kenny.
What? Oh, is he talking
to me?
I'm
not sure if he is.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's hear what he's got to say. Let's hear what he's saying. We're listening to you, Mick Open Mike. We're trying to listen to him. Oh, he finally figured it out.
Too late. I'd already cut it off.
Yeah. Go Mick Open Mike air on us for a minute there.
I'm just saying.
People were pouring into the stadium. My wife and kids were over in the Auburn Arena, and they and that's the thing that I'll never forget is you know what that was like leaving while everybody's running into the stadium to you know.
I'm surprised you remember. I mean, it's just a small little play, you know.
No big deal.
Yeah,
it's nothing.
It's a return kick.
Let me get Scott in here from Huntsville. Scott, welcome in. How are you?
Hey, Tom.
What's up, man?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. What's going on?
I just wanted to say that of all the sports memorabilia, I'd like to have Evel Knievel's jumpsuit when he jumped Caesar's Palace.
Oh, Caesar's Palace. I thought you were going with the Snake River Canyon. All right, so when he jumps Caesar's Palace, makes the jump or breaks every bone in his body, basically. All right.
Well, I mean, it made him a huge star.
Yeah.
At that time, and I just think it'd be really cool to have something like that.
That might be all bloody and stuff like that. I mean, that was a heck of a deal. And by the time he goes for the Snake River Canyon jump, he's kind of washed up at that point.
Right, and it was kind of a flop.
Yeah. Well, it was definitely a flop.
When he hit the bottom of the canyon.
Yeah, well, his chute went out. The chute deployed before he got to the end of the to the ramp. You know, a guy did that exact same jump with the same type of deal and the same angles and everything else. A guy did that last summer and made it, easily made it. But when Knievel did it, when he tried to jump the Snake River Canyon, the chute deployed before he even got off the launch, and that's why he ended up in the bottom of the canyon.
Well, you also have to think the technology wasn't near what we have today.
Right.
Anyway, thanks, Tom.
All right, good job, man. Being a Pittsburgh guy, Bill Mazeroski's Game 7, 1960 World Series walk-off bat. Garrett in Huntsville. That's good. That's really good. Hank Aaron's 7-15 ball from Bama Sims. Remember the guy with the net reaching out there trying to get it? Vin Scully microphone from Kenny Trill. That wouldn't suck. Probably a little spittle all over and everything. Wow, Tony Mack is dense. He's naive. From the 958, Tony Mack getting busted. Yeah, he was kind of McNaive. Hey, McNaive. That was pretty funny. That was pretty funny. I just let you twist in a wind a little bit. You're like, you remember Chris Davis? Remember? I think he called it the kick six, isn't it?
I caught on there after a minute. I'm going along with you.
Yeah.
But and then you started going on with your story. I was gonna.
And then you were talking to somebody. Who were you talking to, man?
Well, someone called, and I'd answer the phone for a phone call. And I was listening to your story and forgot to cut my mic up. I was going to join back in on you with the Iron Bowl and just forgot to cut it off. It happens.
Bama West says, why you got to play that play? I had to turn the radio off. I'm sorry, Wes. Look, man, we're equal opportunity offender here. I'm sorry. it's history. It's part of history. What can I do? Where can I go with that? I can't do anything else with that. I didn't make it up. All right, we got to get a break. When we come back, let's talk a little. Keep those coming, by the way. Keep those coming. I'm going to ask Bo Estes this question when we return. He'll be joining us to talk some NBA next. It's a loopy Tom Abraham. It's a loopy Wednesday on the Tom Abraham Show. Meds are kicking in. We'll be back right here on 730-1039. Thump.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039. The Ump. It's time for 60 with Cole Kubelik.
I'm seeing a disturbing trend around the SEC in spring practice this fall. Key players on key teams that could be the difference in championship runs. Trent Thompson, defensive lineman at Georgia, who I think is an absolute force in the middle of that defense, was last year, could be this year, is not even enrolled in school in Athens. Arden Key, who in my opinion has a chance to be the elite defender in the SEC, maybe the best defensive lineman or pass rusher in the country, is not going through spring drills at LSU. And now Kyle Davis, a potential deep threat for the Auburn offense under Chip Lindsey, is not going through practice at Auburn either. There's always reasons for guys to miss spring football, but this is a disturbing trend with key players in key positions for teams that I figure could make a title run, and without these players, might not be able to make it happen.
Don't miss the Cube Show with Cole Kubelik and Arky Shea. Weekday morning 6 to 10 a.m. only on The Ump.
Well, it was bound to happen. Football season will come to an end, but what that means is spring football is right around the corner, and so is the spring season. Now is the time to treat your vehicle to the ultimate in-service care at Woody Anderson Ford. You'll be stunned at the beautiful new service lanes, and you're going to want to leave yourself some extra time to have breakfast or lunch at Henry's Mustang Cafe. In fact, head to the Mustang Cafe any day, and while you're there, check out the new 2017 Fords. Woody Anderson Ford at Sparkman and Jordan Lane.
Looking for a way to get involved in the community? Big Brothers Big Sisters of North Alabama has a new office in Athens and is looking for those interested in becoming a big, wanting to be a little, or simply desiring to assist the organization through donations or partnerships. Each year, Big Brothers Big Sisters works to pair children ages 5 to 13 with mentors in an effort to enrich their lives. In order to support these, your support is needed. To be a part of Big Brothers Big Sisters, stop by the new office in the Family Resources Center at 406 South Jefferson Street in Athens. Call 256-880-2123 or on the web at bbbsna.org. Becoming a Big Brother or Big Sister makes a tremendous impact on the lives of children throughout the Tennessee Valley. And with the addition of the new office in Athens, your impact reaches even further. It's never too late to start something and make a difference in someone's life.
Families affected by disasters urgently need support. Help the American Red Cross provide meals and shelter to those affected by disasters, big and small. Donate to Red Cross Disaster Relief. Go to redcross.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS.
My son Aiden has asthma. Secondhand smoke has triggered his asthma so badly, he ended up in the emergency room and spent multiple nights in intensive care. Now he's on a whole bunch of medications. My tip to you is, don't be shy about telling people not to smoke around your kids.
Half of U.S. kids are exposed to secondhand smoke. If you or someone you know wants help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
What are all the things you witness online in a day? Cats playing piano, selfies on your feed, your friend's picture being turned into a nasty meme that's been shared 50 times? 51. 52. When someone's being bullied online, it's hard to know what to do. Now you can speak up with the witness emoji. It looks like an eye in a speech bubble, and it's in the symbol section near the clocks in your phone. You'll let the world know it isn't cool, and you'll let your friend know you care. Learn more at eyewitnessbullying.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Brought to you by Kubota. He's the neighbor with the orange zero turn. He mows, maintains, shapes, and perfects. He takes pride in himself and this place he calls home. This is why he does it. Kubota. Find your local Kubota dealer at alabamakubotadealers.com.
A mixture of clouds and sunshine today. A small chance of a shower this afternoon and tonight. The high today 65, the low tonight 49. For tomorrow, cloudy at times. The chance of a few scattered rain showers, the high 62. And Friday, partly to mostly sunny with a high at 67. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
No time to get on the phone? Tweet the big dog at Tom Abraham Show. Here's Tom Abraham.
I remember waiting for the school bus. Jenny Clayton was my first crush.
So Alabama fan had to change the channel when I played that highlight. Auburn fan just texted, "You made my day, touchdown Auburn." And Bama Zach says he'd like to have Nick Saban's Gatorade-soaked shirt after his first national championship game in 2009. Well, first with Alabama in 2009. Yeah, that would be a cool piece of memorabilia to have. I got to ask Bo West this question, today's question, in the wake of the Tom Brady jersey thing, which is just amazing. You know, this whole story is amazing, to be honest with you. It cries to be made into a movie. It made me start wondering, you know, what would be the one piece, if you could have one thing, one piece of sports memorabilia, what would be that thing? Now, Bo's an Atlanta guy, too, so it might be Hank Aaron's 715 ball or something. Who knows? Maybe the net that the guy reached out to catch the 715 ball with. But Bo joins us now. Bo, welcome in. How are you?
I'm good, Tom. That's an interesting question. There's a lot of possibilities. As far as that goes, have you been getting good, interesting answers today on that one?
I'm getting a lot of Hank Aaron's jersey, Hank Aaron's 715 ball. I'm getting, you know, based on what kind of a fan you're. Like, for me, I was thinking about, like, Derek Jeter's jersey from the Mr. November home run. You know what I mean? When he hit that home run, 2001 World Series, the clock had struck midnight. It was the first World Series game to leak over into November due to the 9/11 attacks and so on. And then he hits that dramatic home run to beat the Diamondbacks. You know, I'd love to have that jersey. You know what I mean? That would be something to have. But, there's been the pine tar bat. People have been saying, some other type things that have come up. Michael Jordan's jersey when he hit the shot, the hanging shot against the Jazz, you know, to win win an NBA title. That's some really cool stuff, you know, when you think about it.
Okay, I'll give you two options. I think two things. One would be in 1984, something came out that revolutionized the world of sports. It was the very first time Air Jordans came out. So that very first game that Michael Jordan wore Air Jordans, I'd like that pair of shoes. Or the basketball from the 100-point Wilt Chamberlain game. Nobody has a video. If that video existed, I'd love that more than anything. That would be my number one choice. It doesn't exist. But I would love that 100-point basketball. That would be amazing.
Where do you think that basketball – is that basketball at the Basketball Hall of Fame? Because, yeah, there's
I think it's at the Hall of Fame. But there is no video that anybody has ever been able to track down, really, that is complete of that game. If that's sort of the Ark of the Covenant for basketball fans. If that existed, if somebody could find it, it would be unbelievable. There's nothing that exists. There was a writer who had the foresight to have him to write down 100 on that placard that you see and have him hold up and smile. And that's really what you have from that game.
That's it. I mean, the game was played in Hershey. It was he was playing for the Philadelphia 76ers at the time. And I know the game was played in Hershey, Pennsylvania, which is the NBA used to do a lot of that stuff. There was kind of a barnstorming league, if you will, in a way. I mean, we still see that in the preseason now, but, and occasionally a regular season game, but that was part of the reason it was in a small arena. I think it was like a 4,000 or 5,000 seat arena in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, and so that is, you're right, the NBA used to do that, and it hasn't been too long ago. I mean, Larry Bird, one of his best games against the Atlanta Hawks, came in New Orleans when they were doing that. So there used to be some sort of showcasing of the product around the around America, and it was a cool idea. Now they do it around the world with the global games. You'll see regular season games in London and in China, but, you know, that's not the worst idea in the world, to showcase the product to different cities. So, you know, you could go to different places and showcase the NBA.
Well, as long as it's like the actual NBA showing up, right? Because that's a nice segue into what it
well done.
continues to grow. It's like each week now it becomes another deal. Let me ask you this from a TV standpoint, since you're with NBA TV, and that's an outshoot of TNT and so on. ESPN was the victim two Saturday nights in a row, and this latest thing. ABC, ABC was the victim two Saturday nights in a row with resting players. Should there be consideration at least for the big, between ABC, ESPN, and TNT for those big national games? Can't these coaches work their rest around that, or would that be asking too much of the coach to say, hey, look, come on, this is a national game. Can we put our best foot forward here?
Well, I think there has to be some of that consideration. But if I'm Steve Kerr and my job is to win an NBA championship and I'm coming off a year particularly when I was burned because my team may have been overextended during the regular season, and that was their own damn fault. But what I'm saying is that they have got to make these considerations. So what I would imagine is that the league really next year looks at, okay, we're doing a Saturday primetime game on ABC. Let's make sure those teams aren't playing on Friday night. I think that's a smart move. I think that gets them there. That allows them to rest, and that makes sure that their broadcast partners, who are paying billions and billions of dollars, get this thing, get the product that they were hoping for. Because, you know, when you're going out and you're watching the Cleveland Cavaliers on Saturday night and it's Iman Shumpert instead of LeBron James, it's just not a good thing.
Well, but do they really know? Don't you guys make those schedules out? I mean, I know some of the games are predetermined, but does that happen where, you know, that does anybody know that that Saturday night is going to be that game, you know, 3 months in advance?
Yeah. No. The national broadcast schedule comes out in advance. Now, there's some flexibility with it. Mm-hmm. And based on how the playoff races go, there are some exchanges that you can make. I don't work the broadcast deal, but I'm friends with people who do. And mm-hmm. There are some substitutions you can make. So say LeBron, you know, got hurt on game one of the season and Cleveland fell really far back in the playoff race and another team rose up. Well, you don't necessarily want to watch them on a Saturday night in your primetime national game on national TV. So they're allowed to make some switches. I don't know how many they are, but there is some flexibility there.
And we will say this too about LeBron James. I mean, this is a guy that really does not take very many games off. You know, I mean, you know, you got to give him credit. We bust on him a lot about different things and whatnot, but this is a guy that misses very, very few games. In his first 12 seasons, he only missed 9 games for rest, and all were in April, right near the end of the season. Last year, he took 1 game off in December. But really, you know, this season, he's already taken 4 games off. But, I mean, the guys, you know, he's getting up there a little bit, and, you know, they need to be ready to go. But when you look at the total number of games that he's missed in a 12-year career so far, or a 13-year career, very, very few.
And I think it's fair to say, Tom, and it's no big secret, that it's taken a toll on him. He goes through a lot of warm-up to get ready to play every night now. So this is a guy who is not 22 anymore, and he's out there throwing as much as he can at it for fans. He didn't want to rest, I don't believe, last Saturday night. I think he was told he was going to rest. So mm-hmm. I think that there is, you know, it's tough for me because if you watch other sports, especially – the biggest sport in the world, soccer, they do it all the time. This is just the practice. But with the NBA, it is such a star-based league. That's the challenge for the NBA that is unique. It's a star-based league, and if your stars don't show up, the product really does suffer, and there are legitimate gripes. And, you know, we talked about the story about the family from Mexico that came to see Steph Curry play in San Antonio, and they didn't get a chance to see him. I mean, that's a personalized story that brings to light the problem. So, you know, I think the one thing that I can say is Adam Silver is wonderfully proactive. And I'm certainly heard about the memo he sent to the owners. And yeah. I think that you'll see it addressed in the offseason, and I think you'll see improvements.
Well, the one thing is that, too, you know, this isn't like something that we're imagining that all of a sudden it's kind of come into the national focus. This is a relatively new phenomenon. I mean, you only have to go back to the 2012-13 season. There were only 8 did not play due to rest, missed games. 8 in 2012-13. Then it went to 42-79. Last year there were 145 games that guys missed due to rest. And this year they're looking at over 300. I mean, this is something new. You know, thank you, Greg Popovich, but this is something new that it's – and the thing is it's hard to unring that bell.
Well, I'll give you 2 other things that are going on here. One, the stats that we keep are so precise and so I mean, it just goes on and on and on with the stats. But anytime you look at the numbers, if you look at a player's numbers on back-to-backs, on 1 night's rest, on 2 nights rest, on 3 nights rest, they get better and better and better. So these teams see that. They're certainly aware of it, and they want to take advantage of that. And so what they do, honestly, is if you are a team, let's say I'm the 7th seed in the Eastern Conference, and I'm on the 2nd night of a back-to-back, and I'm going to play Golden State, and Golden State needs to win. Well, it's a very tough game to win. So if you're picking your poison, you know, you try to identify the games that are very winnable. And I think they're doing a bit of that. So then on top of that, these teams are now even hiring sleep consultants, where they used to fly out at 3 in the morning to get to a city at 5 a.m. or whatever it was, sort of the overnight plan. They're sometimes staying in the same city. So there's an element of science to it. There are a lot of people that have their hands in these decisions now, and it's just changed quite a bit. It's probably in the long run better for these players, and we've just got to find a way to make it better for the fans too.
Yeah, and one of the things they're doing, I guess, already, the decision's been made that next year the season will be 7 to 10 days longer. Is that right? Not more games, but 7 to 10 days longer, more open window, less preseason games, and get the season started quicker so that they can eliminate some of the back-to-backs?
And that's an extension of what's been going on with the All-Star. The All-Star break's a little longer now to give the players more rest. So this is... I think it all folds into one discussion of how much we can push these players and expect them to perform at their peak level. And again, these owners are heavily invested in these players. If you're Dan Gilbert, you want to see LeBron at the top of his game for as many years as he can be there, because he is your bread and butter. So you don't want to wear this guy out so fast. And I just think that that's all part of the same discussion. So, yeah. Extending the season, the calendar season, I like that move. You know, it's going to mean, you know, more work for me. And I'm fine with that, because I just think you're going to get a better quality product in the end for these fans that want to see these players at the top of their game.
And there's so many suggestions that are out there. I mean, I'm hearing things like, well, you can only rest one guy at a time, and or you have to put him on an IR, a three-game IR. If he's going to take one, he takes three. But you'd rather take the hit. If you're a coach, I don't want to go three games without having my guys together. If I'm three different games where I'm not having my guy, I'd just as soon take the hit on one night, rest everybody, you know, it only costs you one game, and then keep on rolling.
Yeah, and again, it's what I said. It's, you know, for the San Antonio Spurs, it's not as much a question, because they're always going to sort of be at the top, or at least it seems that way in the Western Conference. But again, if you're trying to pick and choose which game you're going to win on a Western Conference road trip, and you've got a Phoenix game that you think you can put all your cards on the table for, and then the next night you're in Golden State, well, maybe you rest that night thinking we have a tough shot to win that game anyhow. But if we really throw everything at the Phoenix Suns, we think we can get a win here. I mean, all that is a calculation. And I think, you know, if you can remove some of those incentives to rest guys by giving them the rest anyhow and expanding the schedule, I think that's the right solution. It's going to require a longer calendar commitment from everybody involved. But I think everybody's on board with that. And, you know, I'm not sure everybody's on board with what Steve Kerr suggested today, that he would take a pay cut for a shorter season. I don't think all the players certainly aren't on board with that. I don't think all the coaches are. So I think this is a better way of going at it.
Well, you know, certainly it was a few years ago when LeBron and Dirk Nowitzki were amongst those that said that you know, they think it could be a shorter season. They didn't say anything about pay cut, though. I didn't hear any of that part of it. Shorter season, when they'd all be fine with taking the same money for 72 or 68 instead of 82.
I told you the same thing about NASCAR drivers a few years ago when they wanted the races to be shortened, and yeah. NASCAR came in and said, okay, how much less money are you willing to take? And that shut that argument up in a real hurry. So, I mean, that's just the way it works. You got to work to get the money.
You know, it's funny that you said that, too, because I was just thinking about maybe asking my bosses about cutting the show back to 3 hours from 4 hours. But now, forget that idea. I don't want to take a 25% pay cut, right? So,
yeah, you gotta pretend this didn't happen.
Yeah, right. We'll just pretend it didn't happen. All right, man. I appreciate you as always. Boas, this has been our guest, NBA TV, NBA.com as well. Each and every week talking NBA with us. Thanks, Bo.
Take care, Tom. See you, bud.
All right, when we come back, phone lines go open, 866-485-9867. The question isn't on the memorabilia, what is the coolest thing you got? The question is, let's say you can have anything. I mean, if there's anything you can have, but you can only have one thing, what is the one thing that you would want? This comes out of the story of the Tom Brady jersey story. That guy had helmets, he had jerseys, he had all kinds of crazy stuff. And are you watching the WBC championship tonight? I'd love to hear from you on that. Are you going to watch tonight as America plays Puerto Rico, which is like America playing, you know, I don't know, Arkansas. But the U.S. plays Puerto Rico tonight for the WBC title. Are you going to watch that? And Lane Kiffin has gotten himself sued by former Alabama wide receiver A.C. Carter. I'll flesh that out for you as well. We'll be back. Tom Abraham Show on 730-1039, The Ump.
730 and 1039, The Ump. More sports.
This is Brandon Tierney with the CBS Sports Minute, brought to you by Ford. Commercial vehicles built for tough. Well, if you follow the NBA, you probably know that former WNBA star Becky Hammon became the first full-time paid female assistant when she was hired by Greg Popovich and the Spurs back in 2014. And by all accounts, she's been a terrific asset, transitioning seamlessly from an amazing 16-year career as a point guard to a piece of one of sports' best franchises. She's earned her place, no doubt. And now she's apparently in the mix to take the reins at the University of Florida with the women's program, which has led to some people questioning whether or not that would divert her from the path to the men's game by jumping right back into the women's game. Does she want to coach, or does she want to just eventually coach in the NBA, which would be men? Either way, before she does anything as a head coach, she'll need to learn how to run a program or a team, work the grease board, command the room. And quite frankly, the sex of the player staring back at her shouldn't matter. I'm BT.
Hey, just ask your delivery guy, or the guy who built your delivery guy's house, or the guy who laid the highway for the guy who built your delivery guy's house. Ford Commercial Vehicles can handle the job. During commercial vehicle season, save on Transit, Transit Connect, E-Series, Super Duty, and Medium Duty trucks. Ford Trucks and Vans. Year after year, America's best-selling line of commercial vehicles because they're built Ford tough.
Claim based on IHS Market Calendar Year 1985 through 2016, U.S. TIP registrations, excluding registrations to individuals. See your dealer for details.
Who doesn't love NCAA March Madness? You know why? Because it's also time for Werner Ladder Madness. That's right. During Ladder Madness, you can find great deals on Werner Ladders. Whether you're looking for a new step ladder, extension ladder, work platform, or the podium used to cut down the nets. If you need a ladder, now is the time. March is Ladder Madness, so get your new Werner now. Go to GetWerner.com to find the best product for you. That's GetWerner.com.
The Tennessee Valley Golf Cart is back and on sale April 3rd. This year's Tennessee Valley Golf Cart features a round of golf, including cart at seven area courses, including Cherokee Ridge, Cypress Lakes, Quail Creek, and Point Mallard. Play any day of the week. No restrictions, no blackouts. A $288 value for just $129. And enjoy golf at Blackberry Trail, Eagle's Nest, and Redstone Links. This April 3rd, log on to umpsports.com.
March Madness is a time when the best of the best come out to play. Experience that same level of performance with the turbocharged Infiniti Q50 sedan. Visit Smith Infiniti of Huntsville today and lease the Q50 for $339 a month for 39 months. $24.99 initial payment, tax, title, license, and options extra. Call 1-800-862-0406 for details. Offer ends 3/31/17. Infiniti is an official partner of NCAA Men's Basketball. NCAA and March Madness are registered trademarks of the National Collegiate Athletic Association. Infiniti. Empower the drive.
Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. Native American Rights Fund has been helping Indian tribes for over 40 years with critical issues such as treaty enforcement, hunting and fishing rights, Indian child welfare, religious freedom, and more. You too can become a modern-day warrior with your support for NARF's work. Learn more at narf.org and join the fight for Native rights.
Every 2 minutes, a child enters foster care in the United States. More than 23,000 of these youth age out of foster care without anyone to protect them and care for them. You can be the difference for a child or teen in foster care. To learn about fostering or adoption, call SAFY today at 334-270-3181 or visit the website at safy.org. Consider becoming a foster parent, an agent of hope. Log on, safy.org.
Call 866-485-9867 to get your bark on. Here he is, the head of the household, the big dog, Tom Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
Michael says that he wants the football from the Music City Miracle. I like that one. I'm going to retweet on that. I'm a Cat says, I still get chills hearing that. I guess he's talking about the kick six call. I guess. I'm just gonna go out on a limb and say I think he's talking about the kick six call. What was that thing I had? It was really funny. Have you ever heard? I haven't played this in a long time. I think I want to play it. Let me see what. I think I got time for it. Squeeze this in here. Have you ever heard T-Mac? Have you ever heard the spoof call on the kick six?
No, I haven't.
And now, the Napa Auto Parts local radio call of the game. A field goal? Why the f*** would we do that? That's like an 80-yard field goal. We can't even make one from 30. Nick, take the wheel, baby. Just take the wheel. Well, all right, here we go. An 80-yard, 57-yard field goal for the win. Auburn sending a man deep to pump up the crowd. Here's the kick. It's on the way. It's no good. We are going to overtime at Jordan-Hare Stadium.
You know, I think he's allowed to return that.
Yeah, if we were playing in the CFL. American football rules here, baby. Now let's look at the Buford Central Hyundai keys to overtime. Number one, get our receivers the ball. And that's going to rest squarely on the shoulders of future Heisman Trophy winner, A.J. McCarron. AJ there, getting a good luck hug and kiss before overtime. Nick Saban representing Alabama at midfield for the coin toss. Looks like we're not joking around here. Well, now this is just Bush League right here. The Auburn student section is flooding the field, preventing the start of overtime. Celebrating another moral victory here in Auburn. You got a tie score at the end of regulation, and it's time to tear down the goalposts. Congratulations! He knows what I'm talking about. Here we see the collateral damage of the irresponsible behavior. This poor kid just ready to see some overtime, but I guess he's just going to have to wait till these hoodlums get off the field. Well, now at this point, security's got to start asking themselves when it's okay to start shooting these kids. Okay, so it looks like the Alabama team's going to head to the locker room till they get the field cleared here. And I guess we'll take a break with them. We're here at the end of regulation, 28-28.
And that's the way that game ended, 28-28. And we'll just leave it right there.
This is Bush League.
That's just Bush League. All right, he's going to have to start shooting these people.
That was great.
Oh, got it. Anything to save my voice. That's a minute and 50 seconds of radio gold right there. That was good stuff. All right. Lane Kiffin has gotten himself sued by former Alabama wide receiver A.C. Carter, who alleges that he was misled by Kiffin regarding a job at FAU on the staff there. The complaint also names FAU and the state of Florida, according to SEC Country. Specifically, Carter complains that he was deliberately misled by Kiffin about an assistant strength and conditioning job with the Owls in order to benefit from his family relationship with the prospect. The job The job also would have placed Carter with the wide receivers and paid him $40,000 with potential bonuses. The prospect's family had just celebrated New Year's Eve together with plaintiff Antonio Carter and his family just a few weeks earlier, says the lawsuit. It is believed that this relationship between the plaintiff, Antonio Carter, and a coveted prospect was known to the coaches and defendants at the time he was hired. However, after the unnamed prospect signed with FAU, the university said Carter had not passed a background check because of two previous misdemeanors. This is the same staff that hired Kendall Briles, by the way, who was part of the Baylor coaching staff during the entire sexual assault scandal with his daddy, Art Briles. Kiffin gets sued. What, Kiffin lied? Kiffin wasn't totally honest with the guy? Come on. That doesn't happen. All right, when we come back, Alex Risen joins us from the ABC affiliate in Lexington. We'll talk some Kentucky Wildcats for the Sweet 16 right after this on 730-1039. Yeah.
They are WUMP 730 and 1039. The UMP.
I'm Kevin Kugler with an NCAA tournament game spotlight. Friday in Memphis, two of the most storied programs in history meet as the second-seeded Kentucky Wildcats meet the three-seed UCLA. The other game from the South region will match the number one seed North Carolina against Butler, the four-seed. Friday also will have action from the East region in New York City. You can hear Westwood One's exclusive coverage of every game of the NCAA tournament right here.
State Farm knows that life is like college basketball. Having the right combination can make all the difference. Cinderella stories in college basketball? Good combination. Cinderella stories and college parties.
Once upon a time, there was this princess!
What did you say?
A princess!
Bad combination. At State Farm, we know the power of a good combination. Talk to an agent for help combining your home and auto into a plan that's right for you. State Farm, here to help life go right.
Central, live on CBS. Who'll take home the ACM Male Vocalist of the Year Awards? Jason Aldean.
Chris Bello.
Thomas Rhett.
Chris Stapleton.
Or Keith Urban. Find out at the 52nd ACM Awards. Hosted by Luke Bryan and Dierks Bentley. Sunday, April 2nd, 8, 7 Central.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Live on CBS.
The only way to go is in a Bankston motorhome.
Spring is here, and Bankston has the best selection of 2017 RVs in the Tennessee Valley.
The only way to go.
New 2017s are arriving daily, like the Forester 3011 DS. This spacious double-slide motorhome with automatic leveling jack sleeps 7 with a bunk over cab sleeping area. With features like a separate queen bedroom, including double wardrobes, a kitchen with solid surface countertops, and double sink plus pantry, this Class C makes travel a dream.
The only way to go.
Spring is here, and so are the new 2017 travel trailers, truck campers, fifth wheels, and motorhomes. Learn more about the Class C Forester 3011 DS on sale now online.
The only way to go is in a Bankston motorhome.
5 locations are online at BanksonMotorhomes.com.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school or even let alone go to college, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter, Brooklyn, was also a motivation for me to go back to school.
Every day after work, went straight to school, studied hard, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone.
I feel like if I didn't have anyone to push me, I wouldn't even bother to do it. I got one milestone down the drain, and now I got to work on the next. I see the future is really bright for me. I feel like it doesn't matter the age, as long as you go back and get it done. The high school diploma is just added to the confidence, and now I feel unstoppable.
No one gets a diploma alone. You have more support than you realize. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Are you at risk for whooping cough? Pertussis, also known as whooping cough, is an extremely contagious respiratory illness that can cause a violent cough lasting up to 10 weeks. Pertussis is spread through the air when an infected person breathes, coughs, or sneezes. Over 48,000 cases of pertussis have been diagnosed in the United States, the highest number of cases since 1955. And even though you may have gotten the DPT shot when you were a child, over time, your immunity to pertussis declines, leaving you and those around you at risk. Even if you've received a tetanus shot in the past, there's a high likelihood it did not contain pertussis protection. Receiving the tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis vaccine will not only protect you, but also prevent you from spreading the disease to others, especially to young children for whom whooping cough can be fatal. To find out more about the tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis vaccine, be sure to talk to your pharmacist or doctor today.
The Ump is the home of the Avery Johnson era.
He'll shoot a fall-away three. He'll miss it. Rebound controlled by Corbin Collins. Run clock, 3 seconds, 2, 1. It is over. And in four overtimes, Avery Johnson's Crimson Tide wins against the 16th-ranked team in America. Alabama knocks off the leaders in the Southeastern Conference.
The home of Alabama basketball rolls here. Sports Radio 730 and 103.9. The Ump. WUMP Madison. W28 OBA Madison Huntsville. A Cumulus station.